Well, good morning, Unity. Haven't seen you in this role before. This is new to me. This is me stepping in when Spirit asks. So let's talk about spiritual understanding today. Yeah. So the power is called the power of understanding. And I'm going to lead us into spiritual understanding. But understanding is the ability to know, to perceive, to comprehend, and understand oneness. And if you like to think of what disciple is this, think of Thomas, doubting Thomas, in a gold robe. That would be the image. So understanding seems so simple, right? 2 + 2 = 4. The sky is blue or maybe smoky gray today for us. We need oxygen to breathe. And so while it sounds simple, in the physical world it is, and yet it may not be so clear in the spiritual realm. So Reverend Wilkins, a Unity minister, says, "Understanding sometimes requires us to have faith and know that our highest good is unfolding despite what we may experience with our physical senses. It's trusting the light will once again be found, even in what may appear to be the darkest of tunnels." So as spiritual beings having this human existence, Reverend Wilkins also invites us to believe that life is an understanding, a knowing that all is unfolding for our highest good. And Matt Kahn, New Thought sensation on YouTube, has written a book, "Everything is here to help you." And so I got that, and I'm like, everything? Really? Everything? Yeah. So let me take you back in my story to New Year's Eve in 1994. December 31st was a particularly warm, glorious, sunny day, for those of you that were born and are here. I had just spent my first overnight with a new friend, and I came home to the little cottage I had rented in Walnut Creek. I was divorced, newly divorced, and rented a cottage for my 5- and 7-year-old and myself to start our new life. And I came home, and because it was so sunny and so beautiful, I opened the windows to the front of the cottage. I opened the side door, let my daughter's bunny go out on the patio, have some fun and frolic out there. And soon after, there was this loud knock on the door. So I went to the front door, and standing before me and immediately in the doorway was a man that I had known briefly. And what my senses picked up immediately was the smell of alcohol, when alcohol is coming out of someone's pores, not just their breath, just emanating alcohol. And everything inside of me said, "Get outside," and yet he was blocking the doorway, so that wasn't possible. And so he made his way into my home and started asking questions in what you would think is an accusatory tone, and question after question. And I just knew there hit a point where, either any answer that I could think of wasn't going to be okay. And it was with that he landed his first punch, split my forehead open. So who's to say what is good and what is bad? He split my forehead open, so I was bleeding, and I became very slippery. So that as he continued with the pummeling and the punching, I was able to move, and I was able to use my voice. The window in the front was open. I screamed out, a voice I've never heard. Those that know me, I'm soft-spoken unless I'm at a rock and roll concert. This voice that I didn't recognize came out of me. And fortunately, there were two neighbors on our little cul-de-sac that heard me and came to my rescue. So it took two of them to take him off of me, Before they got him off and before they entered, he'd gotten to the point of covering my mouth and pinching my nose. So this idea of breathing was in question for me. Would I take another breath? Would I see my children again? I did not know. And suddenly, there is Mick and there is George lifting this man off of me. So the ambulance came, the police came, and I was taken away on a stretcher in a collar and taken to the hospital to be cared for. So obviously I lived, right? A few stitches, some dental work, lots of ice and bruising. Obviously I lived. And so I mention this story because from it has grown some really incredible aspects of my being in this lifetime on this world. And so I want to invite Slide to come up for us, because to understand this more deeply is to understand, first of all, what is this thing called spiritual intelligence and how do we get it? So we're going to look at anatomy a little bit. And on the left side of our brain, you all know this, the intellectual, the IQ, is coming from the left side of the brain, and it's serial processing one thing at a time, one fact, one figure. What's the temperature? How's it going to be? Yeah, all that. And then on the right side of the brain, there's this parallel processing where things can come in the form of color and motion and shape and depth and be worked with at the same time. And so this is what we call our emotional processing in EQ. And then we have, by contrast, our strategic intelligence. This is the intelligence of why. So where the left and the right brain were working with the intelligence of how. How do I get something done? We can click that slide again. How do I get something done? When something big comes before you, we sit and we struggle. Well, how am I going to do this? Right? Do we all recognize? Am I the only one that says that? How am I going to do this? That's the left and the right side. Working as hard as they can. But it's the spiritual side that has the strategic intelligence. It's the asynchronous part of our brain. It's the answer to why. It answers questions of why to do anything because it has access to deeper meaning and purpose. So without spiritual intelligence or this strategic intelligence, nothing has meaning. So no matter how much tactical intelligence we have, how smart we are, how compassionate, tuned in, emotionally, you know, empathic we are, if we don't have that spiritual intelligence, we're not going to get to the ultimate, the why. So spiritual intelligence is a higher dimension of intelligence that activates the qualities and the capabilities of the authentic self or the soul. And it comes in the form of wisdom, compassion, integrity, joy, love, creativity, and peace. And so if you see at the bottom of the diagram, there's a couple of little waves, and they're in slightly different colors, and they're meaningful. I call them the two rivers, the river of ego and the river of soul. And that those two rivers are running within us all the time. All the time. We don't have to think about them. Sometimes when we think about them, we go, oh, yep, there I am. There I am in ego again. Now let me just steer my boat a little bit and end up over in soul, right? So it's this operating system of awareness that we have, just like our computers have an operating system, our phones, everything, right? So this is your operating system. And the ego exercises the IQ and the EQ, the intelligence of intellectual intelligence and emotional intelligence. And so it doesn't have access to the spiritual intelligence. The soul identifies with that feeling awareness state. And the soul is your existential self, your true self. And the soul exercises IQ, EQ, and SQ. So you get it all when you're in that river. Unity says that, when I step out of the river of ego, I step into a river of soul or self. That's where I meet spirit. That's where I meet spiritual understanding. And Unity says that spiritual understanding is the quickening of the spirit within. Spiritual understanding is the ability of the mind to apprehend and realize the laws of thought and the relation of ideas one to the other. So there are two ways of gaining understanding. One is by following the guidance of spirit. Yes, who signs up for that? As much as we can, yeah. The other is to go blindly ahead and learn by hard experience. Anybody else? Yeah, that too. So let's go back to the story that I was sharing before. I learned from the police that this man had been stalking me and had actually moved three times to move closer to where I was living and was actually only a block and a half away at this time. And I learned how much love and support there existed in my tiny little blue-collar neighborhood from the people that I worked with. I mean, all of a sudden, these lessons were coming to me in a way that I had not experienced before. Lessons continued as I started working with a therapist. I call her Dr. Merrilee. She was a recommendation from the Victim of California Fund. So if you are the victim of a violent crime in California, there is a fund. They will share money for your care. And so I was able to afford a therapist who knew what she was doing and knew how to work with me. It's been an ongoing relationship for over 25 years now. She also introduced me. Now, none of this would have happened, right, if this cosmic 2x4 event on New Year's Eve hadn't happened. She also introduced me to a spiritual counselor who is a therapist and also a guide. He channels guides, spiritual guides. So kind of like Abraham is to Esther Hicks and the council is to Sarah Landon, that's who Hank is to me. He has guides, and they work with anything that you bring them. And so over the course of the last 25 years, I've had these regular sessions with therapists and a spiritual counselor. And in the spiritual counseling, we go incredibly deep. We look at not only this lifetime, we look past, we look to patterns, we ask the big questions, we ask the big why questions. And through the combination is this growth that I can't really explain, this becoming that has been a shedding of old fears and parts that were there and is coming out more and more to this place where I could say, yes, let me stand before you today and talk about this. So I declined the invitation for a spiritual bypass. You know that thing we sometimes want to do when life is really hard? And that's one of the things that I would suggest that we not do, is that not to judge it, not to judge what's hard, what's difficult, what's good, what's bad. Because as Maya Angelou and Matt Kahn and others say, it's here for us, all of us here for us. John likes to say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So who are we to judge what happens to us in these different states? So in therapy, the first couple years, we're focused on healing from this event, to understanding PTSD and complex PTSD and what that means, how you might act, things that happen. And then we got into the deeper work, and we went back in my life to early beliefs, childhood, some of those things that many of us keep covered and hidden and tucked away. And we brought it out so that it could be looked at and worked on. So with this combination of these two, the emotional, the intellectual, I went into a state of reading 150 books. As a single parent with two children in a full-time job, 150 books, in the course of just a few years. There's this post-traumatic growth that can happen. And with that came some spiritual understanding. So, for example, how might spiritual understanding help us deal with anger coming from somebody else? So I'm going to share another short story. And this one happened just 3 years ago. Got the Amazon photo to remind me where I was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I was up in Marin with Dr. Reverend Patricia Keel, who feels like a spiritual sister. She opened Unity of Berkeley many years ago. Some of you may know her. And she's been here to teach SEE classes. And I was in Texas at the time. I had given myself over to Spirit just a couple months earlier and said, okay, what's the message? And the message was, retreat to the Redwoods. I know where those are. Yeah, raise my kids out here in California. I know where those are. So I found her workshop online. I didn't hesitate, and she will tell you about the perfection of the timing of receiving my yes to the workshop and what happened after that from her end. But it was just, it was one of those effortless yeses. When you get those, you know spirit and soul are aligned with what you're doing in this physical life. So I just said yes, and I went there, and it was 3 days just bathing in meditation, relaxation, being spiritually held, imagine yoga mats on the floor, organic food for every meal, this beautiful retreat center in Mill Valley called Ralston White House, fabulous if you can go there, with a private redwood grove. And so the Redwoods had called. And so there I was, day one and day two. Day one, we're going deep into what's called the beautiful mind retreat. So understanding the beautiful mind as opposed to the mind of suffering. So when are you in a beautiful state and when are you not? And then day two moved into interpersonal relationships and how are we doing with it, keeping our beautiful state of mind with that. And then day three moved into larger groups. And that's when I had something to say to the group. So people had been standing up, you know, here and there and speaking. And so I stood up to give hope to the group, saying that I've worked in these organizations, I've worked in these corporations with these groups of people, and I wanted to give hope that so much is changing. So many of today's leaders are acting from a place of a greater why to do something, not just the bottom line. And as I started to speak and I was putting myself out there for the first time with this particular sentence, and I remember it clearly because it stated that I have worked with hundreds of leaders, thousands of hours and hundreds of leaders to provide some credibility to the hope I wanted to share. And as I just said those first couple of words, this woman starts yelling. I mean, yelling, screaming, you choose the word, but I stop speaking. I start sweating. That's what my body does when I don't know about all of y'all, but I come from the East Coast and I get pits, right? Under the whoa. And so my body is registering that there's an attack going on right now. And here we are, I'm in this beautiful room, beautiful place. There are about 14, 15 people in the room, and suddenly this is happening. And standing there during that time, I got to the place of understanding where she was, that her inner critic was so harsh and so loud that what she heard me say invoked in her this reaction that caused this screaming and this yelling. I recognized I wasn't in danger. I was okay. And so I stood there, and I saw Dr. Patricia look at me and like, and I went, I'm okay, and I stood there. And ended up in short conversation from where I stood, acknowledging what I thought she might be experiencing. Those mirror neurons in me recognized what was going on in her. So rather than lashing out, going back, well, let me tell you what I think of that, right? No, that wasn't why that was there. The ability to discern and understand that at a deeper level, to recognize where somebody is, because we are all doing the best we can at every moment in time, aren't we? Or we do better. So I think, you know, this is the best that she can do, and here she is. with me. And so it felt a little bit like a final exam to me, because here I was standing up, speaking a little bit of my piece, and you know, up this comes. And so it was handled, and it was handled beautifully, and it was resolved, and it ended up in a state that you probably wouldn't imagine, her offering to work with me and for me. And so we let that go, but I was curious what actually happened to me when I was standing there. Because I had a couple of sister, elder sisters, I would call them, that came up to me and said, wow, like you've done your work. And I went, what work? Yeah, I felt like it was a test. Uh-huh, I think I passed, yeah. But I wasn't sure exactly what it was. And so I went to find, what is this? And so it's simple, it's three steps, there's no slide. So either pay attention or take a note, okay? So the first one is using the intellectual side of the brain, is to notice, what river am I standing in? Am I standing in ego, where I need to puff up bigger than you with a louder voice than you to answer what's just come at me? Or am I going to stand over here in the river of soul, in that place where I have wisdom and compassion and love and understanding? So the first step is notice using your left brain. The right brain is to, the next step, excuse me, is the right brain calls on the emotional intelligence, calls on actually going to the qualities of that feeling awareness state itself. So notice where you're standing and then, actually get over there. That's a feeling state. And then the third step is just be. Be in that connected space of spiritual intelligence where your whole brain is available to you. And one of the ways to do that is to breathe. To breathe in from that soul place itself. And those of you that understand and know the Soul Sync meditation from Tuesday nights with me, that's part of what was being taught during those 3 days, was the Soul Sync. And that little hitch that happens, that little tiny breath point between the inhale and the exhale, that's the being place. That's where you want to go. So from that place, you experience from a soul's point of view instead of the ego's point of view. And we can engage this kind of intelligence at any time. Do we? No. We also have invitations to engage this intelligence. Any disturbance in your system is an invitation. It's a calling. It's a calling out to you. And so what is a disturbance? Any of those emotions, I call them below the line. So they're not love and bliss and peace and happiness. They're kind of down there with anger and irritation, frustration, annoyance, fear. Any of those, when those feelings come up, they're a little bit of your guidance system inviting you to go to the higher why. There you may see things differently. So you can see that the spiritual understanding isn't always the same as understanding. It's not 2 + 2 = 4, or the sky is, I actually see a little blue right now, the sky is blue, or that we breathe oxygen, or that we need oxygen to breathe. It's knowing and trusting that our highest good is unfolding despite the outer circumstances or any evidence to the contrary. It's knowing and trusting that the path before us will lead us to a destination far more beautiful than we dared imagine. So with spiritual understanding, I know that everything is unfolding for my highest good. Even if one of you popped up right now and wanted to do that, I would say yes. With spiritual understanding, I recognize that I survived and flourish to give others hope and knowledge that we can do hard things. We can thrive as compassionate humans after extraordinary, challenging circumstances. So think of the people in Afghanistan and Haiti and around the world. That we can deepen and help others when our life experience is enlightened with spiritual understanding. With spiritual understanding and faith, I live knowing that there is divine flow in life, that God and Spirit is always here, in me, with me. And again, what river am I standing in when I'm in that place? With spiritual understanding, I have compassion for the decisions I've made and the mistakes, mistakes, right? The mistakes I've made without regret or remorse, simply compassion. With spiritual understanding, I know there are only choices, no bad choices, only choices. Which growth path do we want to take forward? With spiritual understanding, I see the physical objects in our 3D world as props in a play. That was brought to me after being on the Iron Horse Trail one day, that this perception became incredibly clear. From this place of the River of Soul, everything here, our relationships, our homes, our mortgages, our educations, the stuff we go buy at the store, our desires as human beings with bodies, our bodies, all here for our soul growth. And so with spiritual understanding, I seek perspectives and wisdom beyond my small egoic state of being. It really is a small little mind in there. And I release control. Hello, controllers. Anybody? Yeah, I used to have the job title. Release control of what is and step into the unknown. So this is really living with uncertainty when you are partnered with spirit and you understand at this place that you can step into the unknown, the uncertain, step into the role of president of the board during a pandemic and do things I never knew would be asked of me during that time. With spiritual understanding, I know everything is here to help us become the ones we were meant to be. Calls forth to the ability to observe my own thoughts, and to hear my own stories. What is the story I'm telling myself? What is the story I'm telling others? Guess what? I'm not a victim. Nope, haven't been for many years. With spiritual understanding, I recognize that all is always forgiven. And when I seek to label or judge something, that I'm stuck in an old paradigm. My amygdala's gotten a little in charge. With spiritual understanding, I know I can co-create this precious life with the divine. And I can transform pain into purpose. Maya Angelou said, I want to thank you, Lord, for life and all that's in it. Thank you for the day, for the hour, for the minute. And I've gotten to that place of gratitude for the event from December 31st, 1994. My path has been amazing. Who I've met, who I've been able to work with, what they've called forth in me, to this place where I have passion and purpose to help others to awaken and heal and grow. So who knew that I would become a consultant and a coach, going to 5 coaching schools, doing this work with individuals and with teams from the place of a spiritually based trauma-informed practice? I didn't know. But I know Matt Kahn says, whatever arises, love that. Everything is here to help you. And so I ask you to affirm with me what spiritual understanding is. With spiritual understanding, I know everything is unfolding for my highest good. Will you join me in that? With spiritual understanding, I know everything is unfolding for my highest good. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.